Music City, Nashville, Tennessee.
Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Ed.
I'm trying out for ESPN. No, that was my Brent Musburger. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in tonight. As you know, the show is for all you musicians and performers and songwriters out there who are just trying to figure out how stuff works here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything. We're just trying to figure it out just like y'all. We're out there slinging songs during the day like everybody else. But we are able to find cool people, smart people, and bring them into the studio to pick their brains and answer your questions.
Yeah, and you can chime in by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. You can also hit us up on Twitter @TheMusicRowShow. And you got any questions or anything you want to say, just fire it off that way. Now, we've got a great show. We've got songwriter, touring musician, and big-time TV star Kenzie Wetz here with us right now.
Yes, and then we're going to have hit songwriter, producer, hit music maker Jimmy Nichols coming into the studio to visit with us an hour or two.
That'll be awesome. All right, Scott, why don't we get to it? Do the honors?
Yes. Okay, so she's touring the country with country legends.
Right.
I should have really thought that sentence out. She's touring the U.S. with country legends. Is regularly seen on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry and is really the only person on the Nashville TV show not sleeping with everybody else, on the show. She's a singer. She's an artist in her own right.
Now you're doing the awkward moments.
No. I'm right there. I'm right in the pocket. She's a singer artist in her own right, going after the same dream as thousands of others here in Music City. But while she's working towards that dream, she's really leveraging her talents to learn from the masters and right. and playing for thousands of people every week. We love talking to people who find creative ways to chase their music, and it's really a pleasure to say Kenzie Wetz. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you so much.
Woo!
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I was actually kind of surprised to find out that given all your musical talent, you didn't really grow up in a musical home. What was your first exposure to music and, you know, the thing that made you say, that's what I want to do?
My mom raised me on, like, Ray Charles and a lot of 60s pop and soul music. And she didn't push me towards it. I just loved it. And so I was the nerdy kid listening to the oldies station and wanted to do it. And she took me to a place called the Oklahoma Opry in Oklahoma City and just fell in love with it and started begging to start singing.
Wow.
All right.
So tell me, I want to know everything about that little girl in bangs and the little red hat.
I saw it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Playing violin. I saw that picture on your Facebook page. So you go to the Oklahoma Opry, you're listening to Ray Charles, you go to the Opry, how do those things meld? What does that do to you? What were your aspirations at that age and your musical goals? What did you think was making it then?
Well, of course, anything you're exposed to, which is, at that time, like Tanya Tucker and and eventually like Martina McBride and just those artists. And of course, what I was exposed to on the radio being Ray Charles and all them, that level of success and that kind of exposure was making it
right
at the time. And my mom was also, I should say, she's a singer. And as a profession, she was in the medical field, but she always has that passion too. And so she passed that on to me.
It kind of was a musical home then.
It was. Okay. Yeah. I mean, she definitely, my mom was the one that influenced me with what she loved growing up and what were her influences, So she passed that on to me and she raised me right.
So, but when I think of Ray Charles and that whole soul and R&B, I don't think fiddle.
So me how? Neither.
But yet, I see you play fiddle all the time. So how does that happen?
Well, like I said, the Oklahoma Opry was the place that I started going to, and that was my first exposure to live music, and that was where I started wanting to perform. It was the first place I sang when I was five. And
when you were five?
Yeah.
What'd
yeah.
you sing?
Isn't that precious? I sang Hey Daddy. It was like an old 40s.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I wore a boa and everything.
Not well, wow. as well you should when you're five years old singing in the Oklahoma Opry.
There was a female fiddle player in that band. She was the only female in the band. And I think that was, I just looked up to her. I just mm-hmm. thought she was cool. So I started playing fiddle.
Was that a regular thing? So you were around her a lot? Or was it just
that
one time?
Yeah, every Saturday we okay. would go out there and watch. And just being around her just kind of got me wanting to play yeah. fiddle. And I didn't know any better. I mean, like, I didn't know that, you know, that's not typical for somebody that was influenced by Ray Charles and Sam Cooke to pick up a fiddle. So
I yeah,
played along with whatever I loved. Play those melodies.
It's also an interesting choice, I think, for somebody who sings, because mm-hmm. typically you don't sing along when you're playing the fiddle, you know,
right,
whereas
right.
there's other instruments, you know, you can kind of accompany yourself.
And, exactly.
So
yeah.
did you ever branch out to other instruments so that you could do that? Or
like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Like, hey, that would be cool if I
if I could sing. Well,
yeah. Yeah, but my hands shake too much because I get so nervous. So that's why Daniel's here today.
All right.
God bless Daniel.
Yes. All right. So I'm trying to figure out, because, you know, you're a young lady, so you're growing up in an age where not every 5, 6, 7, 8, 13-year-old is listening to Ray Charles. Not every kid your age is going to the Opry, in the Oklahoma Opry on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So what? How was that perceived by schoolmates and stuff? Or did you even tell them that you were doing that kind of stuff?
You know, I didn't do much musically in school. Like, I wasn't in band, or I didn't do choir or anything like that. And mm-hmm. I was an uber nerd, so I didn't Ooh. Share that with a lot of friends. I didn't really have many friends. So
uber nerds unite!
<That's right>.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean I think I tried to hide a little bit. You know, like, I'm the nerd listening to my mom's oldies station, but
right.
But just loved it anyway. Just
so you didn't do
out.
Orchestra in school?
No, not at all. Oh no!
Can you imagine? Because
you're
kind of
read notes.
I was
that
about to say
hurts,
you're kind of self taught. You would have yeah. exploded your teacher's head.
Oh yeah. They would have hated me.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't.
I still don't read notes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Thank you.
I mean, that's
I don't either.
Okay.
But she's actually good at her
That's
instrument.
What I'm saying. Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks. We've had a lot of people on the show over the years who are amazing players and can't, you know, never did that. So.
Yeah, cling to those people.
Yeah. You got a little support group going.
Absolutely.
Well, how did you learn then? Because, you know, typically the violin or the fiddle, either or, that's not...
It's not easy.
That's not right. That's not playing a G chord and a C chord and going, hey, I can play almost all the Beatles songs. It's it's some serious technicality there. How do you learn that on your own?
Well, I did take a handful of lessons from the girl that mm-hmm. was working at the Oklahoma Opry.
Oh, okay.
So I took some lessons from her to just learn the basics, you know.
Right. How to hold it and all that, yeah.
Yeah, and I do that wrong, incidentally.
Really?
Yeah, way wrong. I've gotten corrected on that so many times, but it's, you know.
Well, you do it the way you do
I can't
it.
Correct it.
Yeah.
Now. There's no going back, but
I think that's fascinating. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it creates your own little style, you know, of course,
yeah.
and the influences on singing, you know, that being my first passion has definitely influenced how I play, because I just kind of play whatever I would sing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to real true fiddle stuff, you know, which I guess can be cool. Hopefully it's cool. But I just listened to radio. I listened to a lot of country radio then, too.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to mimic, you know, the fiddle on those records as well. But I really just listened to melodies of the songs that I loved. The, like I said, the Ray Charles stuff.
Mm-hmm. And figured out how
play
to...
that. Yeah, just
wow. That's crazy.
So talk about the decision when you decided to move here. Because you weren't actually old enough to play in a lot of the places that you ended up playing at. How did you handle all that?
Well, I decided actually to move here when I was 9.
Okay.
So I was
bye mom.
Yeah. I didn't get to come here until I was 17, but mom came with me.
Okay.
She actually moved here with me until I turned 18. Mm-hmm. And she came to the bars. God bless her. She came to the bars and stayed till 2 and 3 a.m. and
your own personal bodyguard.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. She hit some people with her purse and everything. But yeah, that was kind of the first year of my
What a huge investment and support for you, though.
Oh,
for
gosh,
her to
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Her to do that.
Yeah, it was a huge sacrifice, and of course, it's now I'm more grateful for that than I was then. It was just like I had to get out at that point, but now I look back, I'm like, man, that was huge for my whole family. You know,
right.
everybody involved. It was a huge sacrifice, but I'm grateful.
Yeah, and you don't really think about it at the time because you're 17.
Right.
You're like, Mom.
Totally selfish.
Mom.
It's all about me.
You're embarrassing me.
Mom, stop hitting people with your purse. Oh, that's cool. So you saw Ronnie Millsap in Oklahoma. And what do you remember about that night? Mm-hmm. And it's a two-part question. That was the first part.
Chapter one.
The second part is as follows. Have you had the opportunity to meet or play any music with him?
Okay. Part one. I actually saw him here. I saw him at the Opry House.
Oh, was it here? Okay.
Yeah, when I was 9. We came here for a business trip for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had nothing to do with music, really. But we stayed here at the Opryland Hotel. And he put on a private show for the convention that we were here for.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't really know that he was the artist behind all these songs that I already loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with him and started obsessing over him. And just my mom got me like this massive Ronnie Millsap collection, and I would start listening to his.
And you're 9 years old?
Yeah, 9. And that's when I decided, like, I've gotta go here. Like, this is where I belong. So
love that.
Yeah, yeah. What was part two? I forgot what part two.
Have you ever had the opportunity to actually meet or play music with him?
Yeah, well, I've met him. Working with Bill Anderson, of course. And
mm-hmm.
Bill had a show on XM for a while. And,
right.
And he invited me to come sit in and listen to an interview that he did with Ronnie one time. So I got the opportunity to meet him. And I've seen him, of course, on the Opry as well.
Sure.
Several times. And that's a tearjerker.
Yeah. But still not played music with him?
No, I haven't.
Okay, we got to make that happen.
Yeah, make it happen now.
That's interesting. He's kind of comes together because Jimmy Nichols, who's coming in the next hour,
yeah.
Used to run a studio that used to belong to Ronnie. And
okay.
I went to go visit him one day, and he showed me the piano room that they built for Ronnie. And because he can't see, they built it in such a way where there's a hole in the wall, and the piano it's a 9-foot grand shoved through the wall. So the only thing in the room was the keyboard, and the rest of the piano is on the other side of the wall.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's really great.
And, you know, so there you go. Ronnie Millsap's piano was only,
cool.
Just the keyboard was in the room so that he wouldn't trip over anything.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. I have no idea where to go.
I don't either. I don't either. I just thought that was really cool.
I got a great idea. Let's take a break.
Oh,
but we would like to remind you that this segment is brought to you by our good friends at thepianosinthewall.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. It's our nice folks at Toyota of Cool Springs. Heino and I are both Toyota drivers, and it's just a cool dealership.
Yeah, it is. And not only do they have a great reputation, they've got great customer experience. I actually went there for some service about 2-3 days ago, and they were awesome. They have a 3-day exchange policy, and the thing I have a hard time wrapping my head around is they actually have an unlimited time, unlimited miles warranty on every car they sell.
I have one right in my hand.
Yeah.
Look at that.
There it is.
A warranty.
Right there. That goes just as long as you own the car, it's under warranty, which is just amazing to
That's
me.
That's crazy. A used car. A pre-owned car.
Or a new car.
Right.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. And when we say that they have excellent experience, what we mean is they make sure that you have an excellent experience every time you go in there. Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George, the owner. He's going to take great care of you on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
All right. We're going to be right back with more of Kenzie Wetz here on the Music Row Show.
guess it's spring again, but I feel like the weather. The sky just won't let go of the gray, and I don't seem to want to leave December behind. It's just one of those April days.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Kenzie Wetz, and that's her doing April Days. I like that. We were just saying before the mics came on that that kind of has a kind of a Karen Carpenter kind of feel, but cooler, nice. I think, yeah.
Ooh, that's a large statement there. Yeah. Thank you.
That sounds really
that's
nice.
A large statement.
Large statement. Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, very good stuff. Well, you know what? Why don't Daniel's just sitting here looking like
poor
this.
Guy.
Have we? Yeah, we already checked it out. Can we get a song from y'all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I've been walking on shattered glass, trying to pick up the pieces of your broken past. When one mess is mended, another is made. I'm starting to think you must like it that way. You start the fire and you fan the flames. I can't keep being the one that you blame. I'm strong enough to know when to run, but I can't put you together every time you come on. Broken the dishes and you slammed on the doors. Pieces of promises cover the floor. Ain't nothing to do but for me to get out of the way. So maybe you'll have one less thing to break. She wrecked your home, so you built your walls, and you crumble at the thought of watching them fall. So now your future is paying for your past, cause you're too damn scared of something that's built to last. Broken the dishes and you slammed all the doors. And pieces of promises cover the floor. Ain't nothing to do but for me to get out of the way. So baby, you'll have one less thing to break. Broken the dishes and you slammed all the doors. Pieces of promises cover the floor. Ain't nothing to do but for me to get out of the way. Yeah. So baby, you'll have one less thing to break. Thing to break. Thing.
Very nice. All right.
Thank you.
We should say right now, because people are listening all over the country going, what? That was awesome. Who is that? So what? Yeah. Give us a website.
It's www. Well, of course, it's www.
Now, hold on. Now, is that capital W? How many is that? Yeah, lowercase W? What is that?
Three of them. Yeah.
Three W's.
Three W's.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Dot kenziewetz.com. It's KENZIEWETZ.
There you go.
Com.
So check that out.
All right.
I want to talk about your voice for a minute because there's, you were talking about listening to Martina, and I know the girls today who were listening, they're listening to Carrie Underwood, and there's these powerhouse high voices that can just go crazy. Mm-hmm. How hard was it for you as a young person to find your voice? Because, you know, not everybody is a Carrie, and not everybody is a Martina, but that doesn't mean that you don't have an amazing voice. It means you got to find out where that, because you have a low register.
Yeah, so does my mama.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wish she could call in and be like, hey, I just want to say I'm proud of my daughter.
Right. Don't make me come down there with my purse.
I'll hit you with my purse.
she's loving this right now. What was the question
about finding finding your register and figuring out where that voice is?
You know, there wasn't a whole lot of thought and method to it. Honestly, okay. It came pretty naturally, and I've always naturally sort of gravitated towards male singers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Nat King Cole and Sam Cooke and the ones that we've talked about. And I don't know if that's, you know, because my mom loved that stuff too,
right.
or what, but that's the stuff I always gravitated towards. And I don't know that I really struggled to like find a voice or anything like that. I didn't really ever try to be a powerhouse singer, and I kind of just knew, hey, that's not what I'm going to do.
Right.
Like it, I may have tried it once and that didn't imprint.
Nope.
It hurt.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I tip my hat to those singers. I mean, it's awesome, but it's, you know,
yeah,
it's never really been what I strive to do. So,
well, how about on the other side? Because, mm-hmm. you know, recently there seems to be a lot of female touring musicians, even fiddle players.
Yeah,
but what was the atmosphere like when you first came to town? Were there a lot of others? And if so, how did you go about creating your own identity as a player?
Ignorance.
Ignorance? Okay.
Nice. We
so,
like that.
Yeah. Ignorance has done me well in several situations.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, I didn't really... First of all, to answer the first part of the question, I don't think there were many female fiddle players in particular when I first moved here. Janae Fleenard's one of them, mm-hmm. fantastic player and writer and everything. But I don't think that I was very aware of my limits, you know, when I first came here. I don't think that I really even realized that my style was rooted in what I would sing. I just played the fiddle, just mm-hmm. whatever came to me. So I didn't see it as creating my own personal niche or my own personal style. I just tried my very best to meet as many people as I could and do something, you know, pour my heart and soul into it, and hopefully people would be drawn to it.
Did anybody try to coach you into changing your style along the way?
Yeah, I've had several people, you know, and I think that's kind of natural whenever mm-hmm. people don't necessarily...
When you're
understand.
Doing it differently.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, what is that? You know, do I hate that?
Do I like it? I'm not sure.
Is that disgusting?
I'm not sure.
Or what? But yeah, definitely. And being from Oklahoma, you know, it's I was around a lot of bluegrass, but again, like I didn't know any better. I just went to what I loved and just wasn't around a lot of bluegrass in terms of I didn't go to the festivals or anything like that, but there was a lot around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people tend to assume, you know, little girl from Oklahoma is going to be a bluegrass fiddle player, and
right.
I was not.
Huh. Well, I've had friends move into town hoping to become a touring player, mm-hmm. and they move out of town quickly because they're so used to getting paid. Whereas when you start here in town, you're playing at Lower Broadway for pretty much anybody who will let you get up and support them.
Yeah.
Daniel, right? I mean, you'll play for anybody at any time.
Except for you.
Right, yeah. Right. But they couldn't reconcile playing for tips. I mean, talk about the Lower Broadway community and the mindset needed to kind of fit in, and because that's where you meet other players that...
Yeah, I did. That was almost immediately. I mean, like day one, I went down to Lower Broad and it was just, you know, sitting in and just seeing if I could, you know, push my way in. And I did and ended up playing with several people down there. And I tried doing my own spot there, but I'm just like, obviously... I don't make people want to party, so you know, that didn't work out. But
mellow party.
That's right. I ended up, I think 9 months or so was about the duration of my time down there, and then auditioned for Bill's gig. But
yeah.
Well, how did that gig come about then?
His the guy that's his manager.
And we're talking about Bill Anderson from the opera, yeah.
Whispering Bill Anderson.
His manager saw me playing down there, and at the time they were looking for a fill-in because his fiddle player was pregnant and needed somebody to fill in the spots that she couldn't do. And so there was an audition, you know, and I went and did it, and... got it, and that was that. You know, it was a huge blessing. I mean, that gig has been awesome because being around somebody like that that writes the way he does
and has had
that kind of career is like going to college.
Well, and I was actually going to say, you've had the opportunity to kind of get a master's degree in stagecraft working with, you've played with Kitty Wells, you've played with Bill Anderson and all these other, you play a lot with Easton, Charles Easton, and stuff like that. That's Deacon, by the way, on the TV show. What are some big lessons you've learned just from being on stage with them as far as stagecraft and working an audience?
Wow. You know, one of the biggest lessons that I've picked up, and I don't know if I'm right or if this is just my personal observation, but just there's something about a real just honest relatability, like, all the people that I've really honed in on, that I've worked for, that I feel like I'm learning a lot from, are very relatable and just kind of just mellow and honest, you know, on stage. And I've tried to pick up a lot on that because I'm not, you know, a showman. So
so not really, when you say relatable, you mean not really overly showy or what do you mean?
Yeah, that's really what I mean. And like, somebody like Chip Eston, Charles Eston, he certainly puts on a show, but he is so relatable to people. He's on their level, and he's able to connect with an audience just by being honest, just by being him. And same with Bill, you know. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, because I kind of I think I had the perception that, especially as a female, I had to skip and flip my hair, you know, which was not easy for me because I fall.
Skipping is hard with a fiddle too.
It is. You poke yourself in the eye if you're not careful.
Or the guy to the left.
Yeah.
But that's been huge for me. And I feel like vocally and also in terms of stage presence, I've learned a lot from men in particular that I've worked with. That's been valuable.
So is the boa, is that gone from your stage show? The boa that you wore back in
the... It's not appropriate at writers' nights.
You know, I don't know about that.
It works for me, Kenzie. Yeah. It works
maybe
for me.
Maybe a sparkly one, you know, kind of...
It was sparkly. It was white and had there you silver go. Bling.
You get it to match Bill's sparkly suit that he happens to be wearing?
He would love that.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Kenzie Wetz here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Eyes, six strings and the sweetest lines, and I was getting weak, and I knew he could tell.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
His words went.
That's a tune called "The Devil Himself" by our guest this hour, Kenzie Wetz.
Have you noticed that your voice has changed a little
bit? I know. I kind of feel like I should
yes,
talk lower.
You're
I,
that's, listening.
I can't go any lower
show.
Though. It's gonna be a problem.
That's awesome.
It is.
You can't help yourself.
No, you really can't
help yourself. But you know what? We'd love to hear one more song. At least one more, but you want to play this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Atlanta lights, oh, how they shine. They shine on memories of all our old times. And you want everything like it used to be in the place I left behind. But it can't be just like Georgia, baby, 'cause you ain't on my mind. Now and then, when I'm passing through the southern moon, singing old song of you. Melody, it'll come and go like the wind through the pines. So it can't be just like Georgia, baby, 'cause you ain't on my mind. Well, the road I'm on led me to Tennessee, where the arms were reaching out, and now they're holding me. Yeah, yeah. And if I go back to what we had, there just ain't no peace I find. So it can't be just like Georgia, baby, 'cause you ain't on my mind. Oh, no. It can't be just like Georgia, baby, 'cause you ain't on my mind.
Wow.
Wow.
You got a standing ovation
over
there.
There's people.
There's people out there.
If you sing it, they will come.
Man.
Beautiful.
So I'm just curious, how do you ever worry about being typecast as a fiddle player because people see you out there doing that so much? And if so, how do you combat that? You know, because
I don't want to talk myself out of work, but yeah, I do.
Yeah, really?
I mean, I do. I think about that. But I'm trying to just do more writer's nights and kind of get myself...
Just get out there.
Yeah, yeah. And not really worry so much about it as much as just put myself out there as a writer and singer.
So you leave the fiddle at home when you do that kind of thing, or...?
I do, and not really intentionally. It's not like I'm going, I'm going to burn
I'm
that
on strike!
It's not that. I just... I've ended up not putting fiddle on anything that I've written and it just happened that way, I guess.
So. But there's some cool Wurlitzer and stuff, keyboards. Yeah. You know, we should say, and Heino was going to say this, but I rudely interrupted him in the beginning. We're here with Kenzie Wetz. Website is kenziewetz.com, KENZIEWETZ. And don't forget the www.
Yeah, and the dot. Don't forget
don't
the dot.
Don't spell dot.
It's not T-O-T.
It's just the period.
Yeah.
That's
Wait,
right.
No, it's a dot.
It's a dot.
Don't confuse people.
I know. Okay, we got another minute before we have to take another break. Talk about how the Nashville show happened for you. And I mean, that's such a neat thing that for this town. What surprised you about that whole TV process?
Oh, gosh, everything about the process of just how they work was just a totally different world from anything I'd seen. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I ended up being a part of the show because I had an audition for a speaking role, which is hilarious because I'm just not an actress at all, but got put into the Raina band through that audition.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's been I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, it's just totally, totally different world. But it's exciting, and it's been a great opportunity to meet some cool players and some incredible people, just in all parts of the entertainment industry, you know.
And I understand at ABC the check's clear.
They do.
So that's cool, right?
That's always a bonus. Yeah.
When they say they're in the mail, they actually mean it.
Wow.
They actually are in the mail.
Huh, wonder what that's like. All right, let's take another break. We're going to be back with lots more on the Music Row Show. We're here with Kenzie Wetz. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Atlanta lights, oh, how they shine. They shine old memories of all our old times.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, is Kenzie Wetz. We've been spending the hour with her, and that's a tune of hers called Just Like Georgia, which, if you were listening a few minutes ago, she performed live, although the piano sounded a lot more like a guitar then, but it was cool.
You don't have the Wurlitzer pedal?
Plug-in for your... no?
Come on, Daniel.
Jeez, you call yourself a musician. Jeez.
Kenzie Wetz, www.kenziewetz.com. She's got all sorts of things going on. We've talked about she's touring with Bill Anderson. You do a lot of studio work as a player. You're on the Nashville TV show, and I saw that you've been doing some touring lately with Chip and Claire. What's going on there? What have you guys been doing with that?
Well, not a whole lot lately. I've done mostly the stuff that's in town with mm-hmm. them, and just I love working with them too. I mean, they're so, so talented. I mean, they can act. They actually can.
And they can and they can sing and play too.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I mean that's yeah, they're great.
Is it kind of weird to? I mean, I'm asking to speak for them, but does it kind of weird them out that they're like. People are coming to hear him play music because they play a character, you
yeah.
know, and they were musical beforehand.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. I think they,
but they're not the character. They're like out of character.
Right.
But people expect them to be the character.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they're like, I love you, Scarlett. And like, Claire. Y'all really like, I mean, they're, I think both of them are working on their solo records, which is awesome.
Right.
You know, and they're getting to fulfill a lifelong dream of theirs as well, you know, and it's exciting to see that too. I mean, I like being a part of seeing other people's dreams come true.
Yeah,
so that's part of what's exciting about that.
What's your character's name on the show?
Like fiddle player number 362.
Okay. There you go. Because the next time you're playing in town, we're gonna come. We're gonna be like, go fiddle player number two.
That's right.
Barista. Wait a minute, you play in Raina's band. What are you doing with Deacon?
Yeah. Traitor.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a question as an independent musician out there. How does an Opry stage fiddle playing R&B soul singer market herself in today's music world? I mean, I'm asking
today's
that
today's world that demands classifications for everything.
Because
yeah.
we're going to be talking to Jimmy about creating a brand for yourself.
Yeah. Did you know that? You could answer that, actually.
Yeah. Stick around. We'll talk with you.
Yeah. Although, we're talking about an actual brand, you know, so that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
You burn yourself.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm figuring that out right now. I mean, that's definitely tricky. And you're right. Everybody likes to have like
a nice, neat little box.
What is, you know, tell me what this is. Well, and I one of the things that I've tried to do is incorporating country into what I do. I mean, that. One of my favorite records is the Ray Charles Modern Sounds and Country Music.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm almost doing the flip. I mean, I don't know, but I love country. I love traditional country in particular, and I like to incorporate those elements into what I'm doing, and that's one piece of it. But as far as the marketing goes, I mean, I'm figuring it out just as I go along, and so I will stick around and Jimmy, it's all on you. Thanks, man.
She's going to be taking notes. No
My
pressure.
My future's in your hands.
No pressure. Well, then, in all the playing you've done at the Opry and with all kinds of people, has there been a moment where you're on stage with somebody maybe you've looked up to and you think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm playing with so-and-so?
Several, yeah. I mean, all of them, to
all
be
of
honest
them.
With you.
Very
and
diplomatic.
I rehearsed that in the mirror several times. I mean, it really is, though. I mean, it's to do that at all is incredible. It's a huge blessing. So it's not lost on me anytime I get on stage and get to do music for a living, you know. And I still get nervous every time I go on the Opry, like shaking, nervous.
Really?
You know?
Well,
yeah.
Since he brought it up and you just did, let's talk about that. Let us be a fly in your collective memory wall and tell us what that first time on the Opry stage was like for you. What do you remember?
Oh, man. Well, the first time I played the Opry was at the Ryman. So it was kind of a double whammy, you know?
Yeah.
And I was playing a song in C sharp that I'd never done before. It was like,
perfect.
Thanks, man.
There's a C sharp?
Yeah, huh. As it turns
okay.
out.
Yeah. Who knew?
Now, is that a hard key to play on the violin?
Oh,
then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It requires white knuckles.
You can't capo. Yeah. You can't capo a violin. No.
And I wasn't smart enough to know that you can tune another fiddle half step down and then cheat. You know? So it was kind of horrifying, but I mean.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. We love hanging out with
you.
KenzieWetz.com, KenzieWetz, Wetz.com. Go check it out. And when she's got some music on there for sale, I'm sure. And or
working
have,
on
we'll
it.
Have
working
very
on
soon.
It. Yeah.
And we've got another great hour of the show coming up. We've got the great Jimmy Nichols going to be joining us. So
yes.
Definitely want to stick around for that. Come right back on the Music Row Show.
You're awesome. Strong.